For now, let's go to our gospel, our epistle lesson. We're going to go back to the book of James again. And let's go to chapter 3. And today I'm going to read a bunch of verses here today. I'm going to read verses 2 through 12. And again, I will have those verses up here on the screen. James chapter 3, starting at verse number 2. I'm going to read 2 through 12. If you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen. Amen. That's great. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. Again, I have those words up here on the screen from my New American Standard Bible translation. And God's Word says this. These are the words of James, the half-brother of Jesus, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. Verse number 2. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. 11 verses, we'll stop there. Let's have a time of prayer. Father, today we're going to talk about this thing that we all have, that maybe we all struggle with to some degree. It's called our speech, our tongue. So, Father, this lesson that we learned from James, may it be something that we can take to heart and something that we can learn a little bit from and maybe get a little bit better at as the days and weeks and years go on by, to tame this thing that we all got called the tongue. We give you the glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Today we're going to continue in this expository study of the book of James, and this is week number 17. And I've titled today's message, The Tongue is a Fire. The exact words that James uses in chapter 3, verse number 6. As you can probably see, today's message is going to be very practical, and there's a good chance it probably applies to all of us in some way. Because of the sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden some 6,100 years ago, we are all born with this thing called the human condition. It causes every human being to sin by violating the laws of God. We sin in our thoughts, we sin in our actions, and we sin in what we speak, this thing right here. In these 11 verses from James, the author is concentrating on this primarily. Not so much our thoughts, not so much our actions, but our words. What can this do? What has this done? Do we engage our brain before we put this into gear? What positive things can this do? And what negative things can this do or has done? Today I'm going to be covering these 11 verses, verses 2 through 12 from chapter 3, because it's really just one big thought process, and the context is actually pretty simple to follow. And what James is saying is this: this can be a problem. So let's lay a biblical foundation for what James is teaching us here today on this thing that he calls the tongue. So let's start here. Let's start at Luke chapter 6, and I'll read verses 43 through 45. And these are the words of Jesus, and he says this: "For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor, on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil." Key line here: "For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." It's very straightforward. Jesus says it. The mouth is going to speak what's in our hearts. Well, the next obvious question has to be this: what is in a person's heart? What is in my heart? What is in your heart? And let's hope that something that's in here is going to be something that's good. What Jesus also answers that question in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. And Jesus says this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Our tongues speak words, and our words reflect the treasures that are in our hearts. So now we need to ask the next obvious question: what are our treasures? Well, our treasures are our emotions and our feelings and the knowledge that we have that's inside us at any particular time. And when we speak, we share those treasures with other people in one way or another. If we were to go back to the first century Roman Empire, pretty much the only form of communication was the spoken word from the tongue. Very few people had the ability to read and write at that time, and other forms of communication as we know them today were certainly non-existent. So when the Bible speaks of the tongue, at that time, 2,000 years ago approximately, it was referring primarily to the spoken word. Yes, we do have some written word here, but it was mostly referring to what comes out of a person's mouth. But here we are. This isn't 2,000 years ago. This is 21st century America and our American culture, and our words are not restricted to just what comes out of our mouths any longer. Today we have something called the internet. And the internet, and we have this other thing called social media, which kind of runs through this thing called the internet. And now we can share the treasures of our hearts via email and via Facebook and Instagram and text messaging and Twitter and TikTok and instant message and many of these other forms of electronic communication. So today, when we speak about the tongue, we must include all these other forms of communication, and we must also talk about how we need to control those other forms of communications. Our words are like toothpaste coming out of a tube. Once it's out, you can't put it back in. Once you've said it, it's out there. So are we careful about sharing the treasures of our heart? Are we careful before we hit that send button, or before we hit that post on Facebook button, or before we allow these things to come out of this thing called our mouths? So let's look at what James is telling us about the tongue. Let's go back to James chapter 3, 3 and 4, and he says this, and we'll focus primarily on the words that are bold and underlined. Now, if we put bits into the horse's mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. And look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. James first compares the tongue to a bit which goes into a horse's mouth to control the direction of that horse. Now, I'll be the first to admit, I know nothing about barnyard animals, okay? I don't. That would include pigs and cows and sheep and horses and those things like that. I know nothing about them. But if James says that you put a bit in a horse's mouth and you can control that horse, I believe him. So would that be true, you people out there who know about horses? Okay, it's true. You can control the horse by putting a bit in that horse's mouth. But James is saying this, it's just a small piece. It's just this little piece that goes across the horse's mouth, but it controls the entire animal. And this I do know, they are pretty big creatures. Yes, and pretty powerful. Then he makes a second analogy here. He compares it to ships with a rudder of a ship. Now, I do know a little bit more about this. It's just a small rudder at the rear of a ship, but it controls the direction of a ship. So he makes both of those analogies here, and both of those analogies are pretty straightforward, and we understand that. So let's go to our first fill in the blank in our bulletins, and it would say very simply this. Our tongue sets a direction in our lives. It's going to set a direction in our lives, whatever that direction may be. If you are, or if you have ever been married, okay? There was a time, maybe many, many years ago, in this thing called the courting process, when you said some very sweet words to win that partner of yours over. Oh, you said the sweetest things, didn't you? I did. Remember those sweet words that you said? Because you wanted to win him over, you wanted to win her over. Those sweet words were a big factor in you and your spouse getting married. Those sweet words set a direction in your lives in a very positive way. Well, they led you and your spouse to get married because you obviously said the right things. And your partner bought every word of it. But in James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, he says this. He says that the tongue has the potential for defiling the entire body when it's used in a negative way. He says this, which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life. It sets the direction of our life if it's used in the wrong way. So in this text, James also says that negativity coming from here, from our mouths, sets on fire the course of our lives, again, when it's used negatively. So what did he say earlier? The tongue sets a direction in our lives. And the question now becomes, what kind of direction, folks, are we setting in our lives by what comes out of here or what comes from doing this online? We really must ask ourselves this following question, this question here. How would my life be different had I not made that phone call and spoke those words? How would my life be different if I would not have pressed send on that email? How might my life be different had I not posted that thing on Facebook where the whole entire world got to see what I had to say? Well, we're never going to know the answers to those questions because we did say some of those things and we did hit send and we did hit post on Facebook, and now those things are out there. So we'll never know what would happen had we not done those. But James doesn't let up. He's really letting us have it in these 11 verses. He keeps on digging a little more deeper in verses 8 through 10. And he says, I won't read the whole thing, but he says this: our words have the potential for being full of deadly poison. For being full of deadly poison. Our words can have the potential for being full of deadly poison. How so? Well, Romans chapter 1 says this, that we can be gossips, we can be slanderers, we can be boastful. And Galatians chapter 5 says this, that we can have outbursts of anger, and we can have disputes with other people, and we can have dissensions among each other and within church. And Ephesians 5 commands us to refrain from any kind of silly talk and coarse joking. So all of it, everything that I just read there, gossips, slanders, boastful, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, silly talk, coarse joking, it's all deadly poison that can come out of people like us. And we can be real good at saying one thing to a person's face and then something totally different behind their back. And he kind of makes reference to that here too. James says this, from the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. Just a real quick example. I'm just making this up right now. You're in church and you say, oh, what a pretty dress you're wearing there today. Oh, don't you look beautiful in that dress? Till you get out to your car. Good gracious, she looked terrible. What an ugly dress. But we can do that, can't we? We say one thing to a person's face and we say something else behind their back. We do it all the time. And this is why the devil loves, absolutely loves social media, because it's faceless and it's impersonal. And it allows us to say in cyberspace whatever we want to say to a person that we would never say to them face to face. Oh, I can say anything I want about Mike Campbell on Facebook, and I can say this and say that and really make him look bad, which I wouldn't do, brother, but would I say those same things to his face? I guarantee that doesn't happen. But social media has given us that license to say whatever we want to say because I'm not right in front of that person anymore. So I can say whatever I want to say. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. And that, my friends, is what the Bible defines as hypocrisy. Social media has certainly given all of us a license to be hypocrites on many, many, many different occasions. So you might say, okay, all right, Mike, I know there's a problem. I know I have a problem. How can we fix this problem? Let's get into how we fix this, because there is a biblical explanation of what we can do to help fix this problem. We know this. It says, the Bible says this, we speak what is in our hearts. And it says our hearts contain our treasures. And our treasures contain our emotions and our knowledge and our feelings and things like that. But when we allow our emotions to get the best of us, which we've never done that before. Yes, we have. But when we allow our emotions to get the best of us, we know this can get us into trouble. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
We've all been there. So let's solve the problem with a biblical resolution. Proverbs 21:23. I read this earlier. It says this, he who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from what? From troubles. Obviously, the writer of this proverb knew something. This can get us into trouble. James knew the same thing. But if we guard our mouths, we know that we will never guard our soul from troubles. Have you ever responded to a situation with certain words that may have produced unfavorable results and wish you could have had, well, I wish I would have just had a little more time to react with words that would have been more appropriate. And maybe your reaction should have been, I just zip it up and don't say anything. That may have been the appropriate response too. Fill in the blank number two. We need to guard our mouths. We need to guard our mouths. Okay, Mike, I'll guard my mouth. What's the best way to do that? Well, let's continue on in the Word of God and see what it says. Proverbs 3, verses 21 through 23. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. And what's them? Words of wisdom. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. I don't know about you, but I would really rather not stumble with this if I can prevent it. Amen? Amen. So, our last fill in the blank says this. Very simple. We guard our mouths by seeking and acquiring wisdom. By acquiring wisdom. When we have wisdom, we will have sound judgment and discretion. That's what the Word of God says. And when we have sound judgment and discretion, it says we will guard our mouths. And when we guard our mouths, we will be careful about the things that we say. Just a quick personal testimony. This happened within probably the last 5 years. I was going into a situation that I knew would be confrontational. Now, I will admit, I am not good at confrontations. So I can go from here to here real fast. And I knew that this situation could become ballistic. But before I went into the situation, I said, Lord, I gotta have some wisdom. What to say, what not to say, when to speak, what to speak, and if to be silent. And you know what? He came through like a champ. And you know, quite often, you don't have to win the argument, do you? Sometimes just being silent is going to be good enough. But I asked for wisdom, and I got out of that situation rather safely. We must remember that our words, our tongues, are going to set a direction in our lives. If we don't control this, if we don't control our tongues in a wise way, listen, our tongues will control us. So we got a choice here. If we don't control our tongues in a wise way, our tongues are going to control us and set that direction. If we understood that the words that we speak through whatever media that might be, if we understood that it sets a direction in our lives, not only for the next hour, but maybe for the rest of our lives, would we be more careful about what we say and before we hit send or before we hit post on that computer keyboard? In other words, what I say today can or will help me tomorrow or next week or maybe for the rest of my life. within my family, within my church, within my friends, within my community. So the question now becomes, are we careful about what comes out of here? And not only do our words set a direction in our own lives, but they can have a very powerful influence over the direction of the lives of other people too. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. And that fruit can either be good or bad fruit. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. At some point in time, the Word of God says this, we will eat the fruit of our words. So either we will eat the fruit of the rewards, life, of the good words that we speak, or we're going to reap the consequences, the death of the negative words that we speak. And here's a great example of words that will give life. I have this verse up here an awful lot. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Some of my favorite verses. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So the question I'm going to ask all of us, and I think I know the answer from all of you, have you confessed with your words, with your tongue, that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life? And those would be great words to say. It will be the best words that you will ever speak. Romans 10:13 goes on to say a little bit later that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be what? Saved, will be saved. These words have the words of eternal life. And all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Great words. I'm going to leave you with one last word, one last thought from the words of Jesus. This is from Matthew 12, verses 35 and 37. Jesus says this, the good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. What we speak, what we write, what we type, everything that we communicate in one form or another is going to be judged one day and will either be acquitted or condemned by those words. So my suggestion to all of us, including me, is we need to speak wisely. Need to speak wisely. Our tongues, our words, reveal our true character and our true belief. Even if it's in a moment of extreme happiness or in a moment of total frustration, our words are the testimony of our deepest treasures in our hearts. You know, Capital One may ask, what's in your wallet? But God is asking, what's in your heart? Because what's in our heart is going to spill out somewhere, some way, and it usually comes through here. Let's be careful about the words that we say. Let's pray.